Yeah, we thank God for the opportunity we have today, especially this Sunday. We remember what Jesus did for us. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so it's a special day, and I hope we don't take it lightly, and we think about what Jesus did for us. There is an account of what that Last Supper, when Jesus spent with his disciples, and all the Gospels talk about it, but however, just John, only John, mentions the washing of feet, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And during that time, one thing got my attention, and we're going to read from John chapter 13 this morning. And in verse 12, after Jesus did wash the feet of his disciples, he asked them something, and he tells them, "Do you understand what I did for you?" That question so got stuck into my mind, into my heart. I was thinking for that for a long time. And for them, it was obvious what happened. I mean, it's like, you know, if I just go and wash my hands today, you know, it's something we do, like people do that. Back in the day, it was unusual for a teacher to do this. It shocked them. But the custom was okay. People did that. Like whenever they were eating, they practiced washing the feet. However, Jesus wanted to emphasize something. Like, do you understand what I did for you? And I hope it's not too long. I'm going to read from John chapter 13, like how things happened that night. So we're going to start reading from verse 1. John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture: he who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in this dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. I read the whole passage here because John has a way to explain things. It's interesting. He describes the things in such a way that it's different than other Gospels. I remember recently I saw I think it was a short video, you know, when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they say somebody from the disciple, one of the disciples, chopped the ear of the high priest's servant. You know, when John writes that, you know what he says? Guys, it was Peter. Peter did it. It was Peter. So John has a way to explain things and to write them. And the fact that he's the only one that describes the washing of feet, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to me to see the way he puts that and how he explains that. And he took the time to say, in the last hours before Jesus was crucified, before he was going through hell, John said he took the time to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, I remember when I was a kid, we had like this short videos made for children. There was no YouTube when I grew up. It was a different age, but I remember when I would visit my relatives who had a TV. We did not have a TV at home. There was like a Russian program for children. And they were meant to be to educate children, but also was funny. And I remember one of those situations where there was a man with a broken car on the side of the road was trying to fix the car. You know, and he was mad. The hood was open. He was trying to figure out. And here comes a kid who says, "Sir, I know what's broken." And the man just ignored him. He was a kid, what he knows. And this kid was insisting, "Sir, I know what's broken." And after he insisted a couple of times, after, I don't know, this man just took a little break and says, "Okay, what's broken?" And he says, "The car." He had no idea, the kid, what was broken, what part he did not understand. It's like me going to a Boeing engineer and I say, "I know what's broken. You know, thousands and tens of thousands of parts in the plane." I say, "Well, the plane is broken." "Yes, but do you understand what's behind that?" John is asking Jesus, ask them and ask us today, do you understand what happened? Well, it will be arrogant of me to say, you know, I was born some 2,000 years later on the other side of the world to explain all the details that was there. There is no way I can do that. But I think there are a few things that we can grasp when I look at that. And when Jesus was doing this, John was trying to say, like, see what he was trying to say. And I think first thing we need to understand here, when Jesus washed the feet, John was trying to tell us, and the gospel, the Bible tells us, it was not the ritual. It was the real care that Jesus had for his disciples. It was not a ceremony. It was not just something, you know, it was during the meal. And Jesus had to get up from the meal and just take care of their physical need. Back in those days, we all know they did not have shoes like we do. They have like they wear sandals or something like that, or barefooted. And they did not have all the conditions we have, like paved roads and all that stuff. There's a lot of dust, a lot of donkeys and animals running around, a lot of debris, and you know, God knows what's on those roads. And these people would walk on those roads. It was dusty. It was dirty. So when you come to this to serve, they were here at the Passover to have the meal. When they laid down, they did not have tables like we do, like 3 feet high or something like that. The history says it was like a low, maybe a coffee table kind of thing, like a U-shaped table. And they would just sit around, just maybe leaning on the left elbow, and just with the right hand you eat, and your feet would stay behind you somehow, or, you know, and if they are dirty, somebody's going to feel that or notice that. So it was okay for them. It was something normal they did, like when they had to wash the feet when they sit at the table. And Jesus, when he came to Peter and Peter declined, he didn't want to let Jesus do that because it was something unusual. Peter said, well, Lord, now wash my head and my hands. And he said, no, you had a bath. It's just the feet you need to wash. It was not a ceremony. It was a physical need that Jesus tried to help his disciples. And he was helping with that. Do you understand what I did for you? I was not trying to just show a ceremony for you. I was trying to help you. I was trying to do a lower service. Somebody who normally a servant would do that in a house. And Jesus, when he came there, nobody offered to do that. They were actually arguing who'd be the greatest. And Jesus says, guys, somebody needs to wash the feet. And he chose to do that for them. It was a practical thing. It was the practical care and not just the physical care in the church. And this was the disciples of Jesus. So in the church, God calls us to look at each other. And if you see something practical, you can help somebody in the church. That's what we have to do. If I can help somebody, Jesus expects me to get up and help people, not just with ceremonies, but just literally helping people. But also, it was not just the physical need. In verse 19, when Jesus talks and he says, I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Jesus was not focused just on the physical needs. He knew there's coming, just in a couple hours, these disciples will just see him arrested. People are going to persecute him. Just people are going to beat him up. And just and Jesus knew that their faith is going to be shaken. So Jesus was concerned, and he says, guys, this is going to happen, and I want you to have your faith strong to believe who I said I was. So he was not focused just on the physical needs. He was also focused on the spiritual needs of people. In the church, we are not concerned just, you know, everybody to have, you know, their physical needs met. We have to be concerned about the physical, I mean the spiritual too. When we look at each other and we know something is coming, where Jesus was trying to encourage them. He knew this is going to happen. He did not just found out that moment, well, somebody's going to betray me. He knew that. And he says, I want to prepare you for that. It's going to coming. And he was trying to encourage them in the last hours of his life. Today, like on the death row, prisoners, usually before they get executed, they are offered a nice meal before that. Like enjoy a good meal. They have a choice. They have a good meal. And they, after that, people try to do something nice, decent for them before they are executed. Well, in the last hours of his life on this earth, Jesus was focusing on encouraging his disciples. What would you do if you know you're living the last 24 hours? Would you just think about somebody calling and say, hey, I just want your faith to be strong? Because this was one of the 12. Judah was one of the 12 disciples. And it was a shock for disciples and for us to know that one of them did this. So, unfortunately, it's not a if, it's a when we will see people disappointing us, including me. I'm just a man. I try my best like you do. But I'm limited just like you are. And there are times when we disappoint each other. And Jesus said, don't give up when you see one of the 12s just giving up. Believe in me. Church is about Jesus, not about Judas and Peters. We thank God for Peters and for James and for everybody. But in the church, there are people who sometimes they just fall. They just, we see big names, just people who just they crush under the weight. They sin or something happens. May you never, ever be attached so strong to somebody that the moment that person disappoints you, you say, okay, I'm done with the church. Jesus said, believe who I am. Do you understand what I do for you? I tried to encourage you in the last hours so you believe and your faith may be strong when this happens. He was concerned in their spiritual well-being. And that night, Jesus was also concerned about Judas. Well, he knew that Judas is, you know, the guy who, he had the money, who was like an accountant for them. He was holding the money and he was managing that. But Jesus knew that Judas was the one that's going to betray him. And in that night, Judah was discovered. He was exposed. And now, please, I thought for many years that it was public. Well, I'm thinking about that now. When after I studied that, a lot of Bible teachers say, well, that happened privately, actually. Most likely, this was private. Because the disciples, when they heard about that one of you is going to betray me, Jesus said, and when Judah got up and he went out, what did they think? The Bible says, what did they think? They did not say, oh, look at this guy. Oh, to you, Judah, what are you going to do? Shame on you, Judah. That's not what I said. What did they thought? What did they think when Judah was leaving? They thought he's going either to pay for something they were serving or buy something for them or help the poor. They had no clue that this is the guy who's going to betray in a few hours. They're going to see him in the Garden of Gethsemane leading all those people to arrest Jesus. So back in those days, again, after I studied this and I look at it, you know, this was a U-shaped table. So the guest, or in this case, the important person, the host, like Jesus, would sit in the middle. And the more respect you show to somebody, the closer they're going to be next to the person, like to Jesus in this case. Well, we know who was one of the closest one to Jesus for sure. Can we tell who that was? John. Because the Bible says he was leaning, he was next to Jesus. Verse 23, we see that. He was next to Jesus, whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Well, and now when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me, well, Peter motions, like makes a sign, like to, I don't know how he communicated with John, non-verbally or somehow. He said, ask Jesus who this is. This tells us that probably Peter was not close enough to Jesus. He could have asked personally if he was there. Well, and now we think when John asks Jesus, and I think John was not like, you know, listen, everybody, Jesus, can you point us who the guy is? So we all know. He was not like that. Everybody was asking, Lord, is it I? We read in the other Gospels, Lord, is it me that's going to betray you? They had no clue about that. And Jesus answers John, and he says, John, the one who I'm going to give this peace is the one that's betrayed me. And Jesus dips that piece of bread into wine. That's again a sign of respect and sign of like great honor. And he gives this to Judah. He did not say, pass this to Judah. So that tells me Judah was close enough to Jesus. Probably next to him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. But the fact that Jesus could talk to Judah, because in other Gospels we see Judah also asked, Lord, is it I? In Romanian it says very sharp, directly, yes, you are the one. In English it says, you said so. Like, you said it. So the fact that Jesus communicates with the Judah so closely and they could hear each other, it tells me that they were close there Judah was offered probably an honorable place to be close to Jesus. And that night, he knew that Jesus knows about what's going to happen, that he's going to do it. Maybe Peter got the clue. When he saw, like, what happened, Peter probably, I don't know, but the Bible doesn't say that. But John knew it was Judah, because that's what he wrote down, like, Judah was the one. Because he was next to Jesus. What I'm trying to say is, like, Jesus did not humiliate Judah publicly. He told what he had to do, do it quickly. But Judah, that night, was convinced of his sin. The sin was exposed. And more than that, Judah saw love, like I just shared that, because Jesus was close to him. Judah was close to Jesus, and Jesus showed him respect and love. And yet Judas closes his heart, and he just goes out, and he does what he had in his mind to do. What this tells me is, some people, even though they are exposed, their sin, when we come to church, when we listen to God's Word, when we read the Bible, God is going to expose sin in your life, in my life. But also He's going to wash my feet. Judah's feet were washed by Jesus. Everybody was, Jesus washed their feet that night. And yet Judas goes out and he says, I don't care. If it's Jesus who told me, I know He knows that I'm going to do it. And he just goes out. That tells me there are some people who would not change their mind regardless who's going to talk to them. Even if it's Jesus. Even if it's Jesus, they knew, okay, I'm going to do what I have to do, and you guys just don't get it. I am right, everybody is wrong, including Jesus. And a few hours later, we're going to see the whole crowd, the whole multitude, when Pilate was trying to rescue Jesus in some way, he says, guys, here's a criminal, Barabbas, and here's Jesus. Who do you want me to release? It was the custom for that time to release one of them. What the crowd was crying out, who did they choose? Barabbas. Because they were just, we don't want this man supposed to die. That's it. Meaning Jesus. He's supposed to die. This is very dangerous for us when we get, God forbid, to that moment where the heart is just so hard that we don't accept anything from anyone. And we say, well, I am right, everybody is wrong, and you guys just don't get it. And we are limited people. We don't understand everything. But in this case, it was Jesus talking to Judas and say, Judah, Judah. Well, he could have repented from that. Satan was not just using Judas without his acknowledging or like accepting that. Satan just found Judas willing to do that, so he used Judas for that. So I see Jesus washing the feet, and not just a ritual, but taking care of people's need physically and spiritually. Exposing sin, loving them, washing their feet, helping them, organizing this meal. Jesus was doing that. And I think washing feet for us today is not a ceremony. It is something we have to do practically to help the church, to help each other. Amen? May the Lord help us with that. The second thing I want to share is washing the disciples' feet was not forced, but freely chosen by Jesus. He voluntarily got up and started to wash their feet. And also in verse 3, it says that Jesus said that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. He had all the power. He was not somebody who just, you know, was forced or somehow, you know, put there and said, okay, now you have to do this. He had all the power. He could command everybody to do this, yet He chose to get up. You know, it was a comfort zone for Him. How many of you would enjoy the moment you have the dinner or lunch and your wife or your husband or your mom or dad ask, well, could you just go and do the trash, you know, bring the trash outside? You know, like go and do something, you know. Nobody wants to do that. Like, man, we enjoy the meal. We have a good time. It's not the right time. The Bible says during that meal, Jesus chose to get up and do that. It was voluntarily. It was not imposed by anybody. He chose to do that. God will never, ever put anybody like, well, I don't care if you want or you don't want. You know, it's you have to do it. It's not like that. We have to do everything. All that you do must be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:14. It has to come out of love. It has to come out of our choice to serve the Lord. At the same time, when Jesus came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, no. You're not going to do this, Lord. Peter was trying to dictate to Jesus what to do. And Jesus said, no, Peter, unless I do it, you have no part with me. And then Peter said, okay, Lord, now I get it. Now wash my head and my hands too. Peter, you don't tell me what to do. Let me just do it. The fact that Jesus is freely doing that, it's not that, well, he just going to do everything we command him to do. No. Even Judas one time had an opinion about how the money should be spent. And Jesus did not let people tell him what to do. He was the Lord serving, but also serving towards something, having a purpose. It was not like, okay, if I just come to church, you know, you guys do the things my way, or, you know, I was born in Moldova. You know, there's nothing probably, you know, the way I grew up in my country that is in this church, the way we have service and everything else. What if I come here and say, well, if you guys truly are Christians, you should do the things that I expect to do. Well, there are some things we do exactly the same, I hope. For example, loving each other, hating sin, repenting, praying. That's, yes, that's everything everywhere. But in that situation, the fact that Jesus was willing to help, he was not there to please everybody. Say, yes, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? Okay, let me just please everybody. Okay, well, how about you? Can you allow me to wash your feet? He was not like that. He was a leader. But he said, I come from God and I go towards God. I know who I am. I have all the power. And yet I choose to serve you. And if you want to follow me, you better listen to what I say. And I hope we understand. Do you understand what I did for you? I freely chose to do that. Not because I tried to please you, but because this is what I came for, to serve, not to be served. Thirdly, when Jesus washed the feet, it was not selective. It was inclusive. In verse 12, we see that Jesus washed the feet of all the disciples, including Judas. When he had finished washing their feet, he was not like, okay, I'm going to skip this guy, maybe this one, I'll just wash this feet, and, you know, Jesus was not selective. Now, I don't despise people who have this ceremony. I grew up in a church. I was part of the church where people still practice washing their feet literally. Like they come to church and they have like a basin of water. You get a towel and you get on your knees. And sometimes you get rebuked if you don't do it properly. Stay properly on your knees, like showing humility and stuff like that. I'm not despising that. There is maybe some value in that too. But we just saw it's more than just a ceremony. This was something to take care of people, their actual needs. And sometimes in those churches, I know people would just pick somebody. Like I say, okay, I'm going to go with you and we're going to wash each other's feet. Sometimes it's random. And, you know, it happens to, you have to wash somebody's feet maybe you don't like so much. But often people will say, well, we just go together, you know, somebody who you like or you agree with, and you just wash each other's feet. Jesus was not selective. When it was Judas' turn, Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet too. It's easy to have in the church people you like and maybe people who you don't like that much. In the church should be disciples. And everybody who's a disciple of Jesus, when you look at him, we have to see Christ in him and in her, right? Amen? That's what Jesus was. He would serve everybody. It's easy to love somebody who you don't know. It's easy to serve somebody who you don't know. How about your family? How about your wife, your husband, or your children, your parents, your co-worker? How about somebody that you meet him frequently? You know, how about serving this, washing his feet, helping this person? It's not that easy, right? It's easier to go to do mission work somewhere in Africa or somewhere, you know, where people don't know you and they go, wow, what a great person. How about being witnesses for Christ right here in Bolivar and Springfield, in this area where God put us, and love Him, and not just being selective, but loving everybody and serving His disciples. It's easy to go to Peter when Jesus washing his feet. These feet were walking on water. Peter was walking on water a couple, I don't know, months, years ago, whatever it happened. But Jesus was washing his feet. It's very easy to go to somebody who is mighty, who is a blessed person, and say, hey, I'd like to serve you. Can you please let me do something? I remember when I was in a Russian church, I was a member there, I would ask the pastor, can you please let me wash your car? It's easy to serve the pastor or somebody who you respect. How about you go and want to shake hands with somebody who doesn't love you maybe? How about praying for somebody who is not that easy to be loved? Jesus went to Judas, and probably that night, while Judas still felt the taste of the bread and the wine in his mouth, with his feet clean, being washed by Jesus, he went outside to betray, and Jesus knew exactly what he's going to do. And he still chose to wash his feet. Like the disciples, I think we all would say, it will be an honor for me to wash the feet of Jesus. Amen? It will be an honor for me to go and say, Lord, would you please let me help you? And Jesus said, if you love me, I gave you an example so you wash one another's feet. If you love me, Jesus said, serve and love each other. That's what he said. For Jesus, we would do everything, but when we love him, we have to show this towards our brothers and sisters. You know what? Today we're going to have lunch. Often I tell my family, we're going to serve Jesus today. Soup or veggies, whatever we bring, we're bringing to Jesus today. We brought a meal for Jesus today. Jesus is in you today. That's how we have to see each other. That's how we have to see each other. Not selective. We are all different levels. Judah was not at the same level as Peter. They were different. But Jesus says, you are my disciple. And I'll give you a chance until the last moment. I'll love you and I'll serve you until the last moment. You know, the feet are the first to get in touch with the ground. They're the first one to get dirty. They're the first one to get hurt when you walk on something. It's the first one that get in touch with this world. And Jesus said, let me wash a little bit of the world off of your feet. Let me wash a little bit of the dirt from your feet so you feel clean and fresh and better. That's what we're called to be. Do you understand what I did? I tried to clean up the dirt from your feet. When I was a kid, we used to go like with we had like gooses and ducks and cows, and I grew up in the town, and we go with the kids outside the village, and there was like a big field where these animals and birds would eat. And our parents told us there was a lake right there. So our parents did not allow us to swim because we don't take care. We don't watch over those birds and animals. So we neglect them, and some of them get lost, or somebody don't get properly fed because there's not much grass around the lake because everybody wants to be there. In order to feed them properly, you have to walk somewhere, you know, further. So, you know, there was one problem I had. We like to swim, and we spend literally all day in the morning till the evening in the lake. We just go and swim. But because the water was so dirty, it was muddy, it was, you know, and we get and we swim, we had fun and all that. One problem we had that when we come home at night, you know, the nails on our toes, like on the feet, they get yellow. And it's not easy to clean. It's not something you clean. Because you sit too much in that mud and that water, it turns yellowish. And the parents would know where you spend the time. And I think when we, you know, it shows where we spend the time. When we come and we share, like we come to church, it smells from us. Like, what aroma we bring? Have we been with the world? You know, We are just like that. We are people who easily share what we see. And if we just saw, I don't know, the last movie or something, you know, like we just repeat that. I guess everybody talked about the recent assassination that happened in America. We are just like that. We're impressed by that. And Paul says, guys, brothers and sisters, I am fascinated by Christ. And everywhere I go, I spread this aroma. And yet to church, we have people who come who are hurt, who cannot walk. And Jesus asked me and you, don't be selective. Wash his feet. If I can encourage you to get a little bit of the world off you, maybe, you know, something that I can help you to become more like Jesus and cleaner. Maybe you cannot walk on your feet like we heard about Mephibosheth from Old Testament. And David chose to help this guy. He brought him to his table and said, you're going to eat with me. I'm going to take care of you. In the church, there are people who are hurt, cannot walk, and say, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I'm going to encourage you, sister. You know, I'm not going to let you down. You are my brother and sister. I'm going to help you. When the prodigal son came home, the father told, Luke chapter 15, the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Those feet were with the pigs. I'm sure they did not smell nice. And the father said, let's just restore him. Let's help him. In the church, there are people who come, not just Peters and Johns and James and people who are on fire for Christ. There are Judas who need to be loved and helped. And it's not easy, but may the Lord help us to do that for him. I'm going to close with the last thought that God put on my heart. Jesus said, this is not just something I do for you. He said, this is an example in verse 15. He said, I showed you an example that you should do as I have done for you. It was not just an act, something to impress people. Oh, everybody's going to just go, wow, it was amazing. Jesus said, follow my example. And I see that in Peter. I see that in John. I see that in other people. They were transformed by Jesus. They just go and say, we just want to be like Jesus. We want to serve. We want to help. I'm going to say a verse. You tell me, if you can guess, who is the disciple that wrote this verse? All of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Can you guess who was the disciple who said that? It was Peter. Humility. Guys, Jesus was at my feet. And I will never allow anybody to be humiliated by me. I want to be humble like Jesus. Now, guess again. One of the disciples goes, we read that in Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, the Roman centurion in the army. He was a high position, very good man. Very good man. And he goes there to preach the gospel. And when he enters, this disciples enters the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But this disciple made him get up. He said, stand up. I am only a man myself. Can you guess who that disciple was? Peter. When Cornelius was there at his feet, he says, no. Cornelius, I came here to wash your feet. I came here to serve you, to help you, to bless you. I'm not here to seek honor. I'm not here to show you how great I am. I am here to love you, to respect you. Just recently, I'm not too much in politics, but I recently heard a speech the Secretary of War had and the President Trump had in front of generals and these army officials. And somehow people said, I read in the news that they felt a little bit odd because people did not applaud them that much. People were just listening. Well, they say that's part of the protocol. Army usually don't get involved into politics. They just listen. But for these people, they say they sense that President Trump and the Secretary of War, which happens to be almost like Peter, his name, P-E-T-E, I think that's his name. So they were expecting some applause, and people were not doing that. I think that tells us how we as people sometimes, we look for approval. We look for people to praise us, to help us, and just to... And Peter was not one of those. He said, I came here to wash your feet, not to be applauded, not to get great honor, not to, you know, just tell people how great I am. I'm here to serve. I'm so thankful that when Jesus came to Peter, and Peter said, Lord, stop, don't do this. In verse 8, he said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus did not say, Peter, unless you're perfect, unless, Peter, you promise me you'll never fail, unless, Peter, you know the whole scripture perfectly, he said, Peter, unless you let me do something for you, you have no part with me. So today we're going to celebrate, we're going to remember the Lord's Supper. And this is not about what we can do for him. It is about what he did for us. And I don't know where you come from. We have been through all this war. Every day is a struggle. If you want to follow Christ, if you want to live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. You will suffer from that. And today we come to Jesus. I don't know how your feet are. I don't know if you have been with the pigs or you have walked on water. Regardless who you are, Jesus today wants to wash your feet. Jesus today wants to help you. Jesus wants to help us today. He came here to serve, not to be served. And I hope as a church, we learn from him, from his example. Not just to be ceremonial, but to truly care for the physical and spiritual needs of our brothers and sisters around us. The disciples primarily. If you can help the rest, do it. But primarily, the disciples. At the same time, we know that Jesus was not forced to do that. He chose to do it. He was not selective. He included me and you in this. He wanted to do this to show us his love and to set an example for us. May the Lord help us to do that. May the Lord help us to do that. Learn from him. If you would know that have the last 24 hours of your life to live, what would you do? Would you wash disciples' feet? What would you do? I know what my Lord did, and I hope we all learn from that and be like him and serve him. Amen? May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example that you showed us in Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful that one day, Lord, you showed us in practice, not just telling us, Lord, but you came down and you did not just wash our feet, you laid down your life for us. Lord, you did not came just to wash our feet physically. You came to wash our sins away, Lord. And there is no detergent in the world to clean that. It's only your blood. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Help us, Lord, never to forget that you never ask us to do more than you, Lord, did for us. Help us to show our love for you by loving each other, by encouraging each other, Lord, by doing the lowly service, Lord, helping each other. Help us, Father, to be like Jesus more. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and bless us, Lord, today as we remember what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.